This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now, I jumped right into it. I was like, hey, man, I don't know what all the hate's about. Muhammad is the most popular name in the world, okay? You know what's frustrating about that fact? I went to Disneyland 3 weeks ago, not one keychain with my name on it. Not a single, not one person has shared a Coca-Cola with me in America. Not a single person. I must confess, I don't even know how popular the name was until I watched the Egyptian soccer team. They were showing a play-by-play, and the commentator comes on, and he's like, Muhammad has the ball. Muhammad pass the ball to Muhammad. Muhammad to Ahmed. Ahmed to Hamad. Hamad to Muhammad. Muhammad to Muhammad. Muhammad to Muhammad. Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. I'm like, this weed is too strong, Steven. There's one guy on the team.
Hey! We said we had a special guest. We take care of the suspects. Doesn't get much better than this. Real Mo Ammer on Twitter if you want to follow him. But if you don't already know, then there's something wrong with you because Mo joins the show. Mo, appreciate you joining us. You said that was from the Stephen Colbert show.
Yeah, that's when I did the late show.
Yeah,
he's very cool.
Fallon, Colbert, I throw in Breakfast Club because, you know, radio guys, that's
Breakfast
a big deal.
Breakfast Club is dope, man.
Was that the highlight? That was like a big deal, huh?
I mean, it was cool, but Charlamagne wasn't there, I think. He was out of town or something. He was on vacation. It was around Christmas time. I was doing Caroline's on Broadway.
Yeah.
And that's a normal destination, but we know each other. Well, I'll be back on there soon.
A Lot Made Me Funny tour over 30, yeah. 30 countries.
Amazing.
Sold out shows in all those countries. Tour with Dave Chappelle.
100 cities this year. Yeah, Dave.
100 cities this year?
Yeah, I'm like.
Exactly. Tour with Chappelle?
Not with Dave. With some with Dave. Yeah,
okay. You have before. Right?
This shirt's from his taping when I opened for him at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. I've done like over 700 shows with Dave.
That's crazy.
Over the years. He's my mentor and somebody who, I met him through All That Made Me Funny, actually. He stopped in at our show in 2007 in Columbus, Ohio. And then, like 5 years later, in the beginning of his comeback, we happened to be in San Francisco at the same time, and then we just hung out, and then asked me to open the next day with me and Azhar, another comedian, that we toured. And then it was just like one of those things. It was like, okay, next day, hey, why don't you come next week? I see Dave, you're going to be in Atlanta. I'm going to be in Atlanta. Why don't you just come on out and just do that?
That's
okay,
bad.
So you would hit him up too, and kind of.
It would never be a situation where. It was an advance notice. There was never any. I think the only times I've ever had advance notice is probably like twice.
Oh yeah,
two different tours.
Wow.
Now you've also 700 shows. You've got the Hulu show Rami, where you played Rami, Mo.
Yep.
Yeah, Rami.
Uh-huh. Yep, I'm doing. I did the Netflix special, which Dave introduced me. At the Paramount Theater, and then I also am a second lead in a very. Fun ass show to do called Rami. It's on Hulu. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
I was going to say.
Dude, I just came from an IV.
as much as you're on the road, where do you call home now?
Houston is always going to be home.
A-Leaf represent?
A-Leaf, huh?
I'm an A-Leaf guy. Man, I graduated from Hastings High School. Houston will always be home. Houston is going to be that, way to unplug from Hollywood and just constantly keep me grounded like that. And my mom's here. My family's here. I'm Arab, man. You can't get away from your family, bro. You can't just, run away and think that's okay. But I also live in New York when I'm filming, and also I always work out my material out of the cellar and before I go on tour.
So you had H-Town roots. Do you keep true to them in terms of the sports teams? Were you growing up a sports fan? Do you follow your teams?
Do I keep true to them?
Just a question, man.
I'm an animal, all right? I wore because, I didn't have much money growing up. So now that I'm making money, I bought a Rocket starter jacket, retro, like authentic vintage starter jacket, and I was in the Bay Area. And I was like, oh, it's going to be cold in San Francisco. This is the only place it can be cold during summer.
Right.
It's amazing. I get to wear this jacket early. Bam. I was so excited. And then I forgot I was in the Bay Area.
Oof.
But then I was like, oh, yeah, screw them. I'm in the Bay Area. So I put it on. And I was in the elevator. I had no idea. Pop out the elevator. I look at my phone. It pings. we traded for Russell Westbrook. So it was because of me that happened. That's
you gave him the karma.
100% why it Got happened. It. I'm taking full responsibility for this championship next year. And I wore it on stage. I went popped into Michael Che's show on Thursday obnoxiously with the shirt with the jacket on and walked on stage to booze in Oakland. It was fantastic.
It was a red one, right? The ketchup and mustard one.
Yeah, exactly. I can't stop wearing it, bro. I'm a fanatic. I can't stop wearing it because I love that jacket so much. And then the other thing was actually while I was on tour with Chappelle, and we were in Buffalo, New York, and you know our history with Buffalo.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I walk out. This is like 4,000 people. It's two shows a night. So I walk on stage, and my first statement. I didn't even say hello. I didn't even say, what's up, Buffalo? I didn't say anything. I just said, F the Buffalo Bills. Out the gate! Out the gate! Cold-blooded. Boo! I just was like, give it to me. You know, I just didn't care. You know, it was fantastic. It was one of the best sets of my life. I did it two shows in a row and party like crazy. But yeah, I get down, man.
Because you know those Buffalo fans, they get a little raunchy.
They are nuts. Man. They are nuts. But they were like, you know, I was like, guys, you know, you got the four Super Bowls. Yeah. Fine. You ruined our life.
Yeah, forever.
Houston Oilers forever.
You made a move.
Never have to live it down. Don Beebe stepped out of bounds. No replay, whatever.
Right?
I'm not salty.
Not a bit.
Not a bit.
Now, do you keep up with Texas? What was your favorite sport, by the way?
I don't know if I had a favorite sport. I went through, like, different phases. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the younger I was, I really loved baseball, and I just, like, really loved it and just enjoyed it. And then I realized how long and grueling of a sport to try to maintain. And listen, but definitely basketball was number one for me. And then it was, like, became basketball, football, then baseball.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you tour a lot, still right? As we were talking about, you travel a lot with New York and LA, yeah, and all the things that you said. And is it a sport? Are there any people that you come across now that you're like kind of in awe of? Because maybe I think of if you're a Rockets fan, if you ran into Olajuwon, or you know, yeah, are there just like people in the business too, like that you're just kind of like, man, I looked up to that person, I love that person, and you're kind of in awe of them.
You see, working with Chappelle, you kind of get over that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But there's like heroes in those buckets. Then you realize like, oh, when Dave looks at me as a colleague or somebody who's, I was like, whoa, okay. So now you have to, like, you eventually, like, I don't know what happens. It's like you work hard enough, you're in this business long enough, you look at everybody like, oh, I'm in the major leagues now. It's cool. I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan of yours. I'm sure, like, NBA players, rookies that come in the league, like, oh, my God, Russell Westbrook, right. I love how you play, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of that thing. But, yeah, I've definitely fanned out. I've fanned out with Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Lost it. Just completely like, ah! Like, just completely, like, ah, screamed and everything. I was so happy to meet him. I hugged him. I talked to him for like 20 minutes. Thankfully, he saw me perform. I was opening for Dave. And I was like, this might have freaked you out if I didn't do that. That was like one of the coolest things. I took a selfie with Stevie Wonder without asking. I forgot he was blind. That was hilarious. He was like, are you taking a selfie?
No.
I swear to God. I was like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. he was like, definitely De Niro was the one that like really freaked me out. And Will Smith. Will Smith was another one that I was just like, what the hell is Will Smith doing here?
I saw him, like, he was Instagramming about The Vagabond and your Netflix special. Yeah. That was got to be pretty cool.
That was crazy. So I walked in on this. So Dave always does these shows, or frequently does these shows in L.A. where he'd be like, hey, Mo, why don't you pop in? You want to come do these shows? It's very small, maybe 200 seats. Very spontaneous. I walk in. I see Will Smith on the side just like, it's like he's getting ready to film Muhammad Ali 2. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm going to do stand-up. I was like, you're Will Smith, bro. What are you doing here? Like, go live with your money. Like, go swim in it. Like, what are you doing? He was like, yeah, this is my bucket list show. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the coolest night ever. And then Jon Stewart walks in. And then John Mayer walks in. And then Cat Williams walk in. And I was like, what are we going to do here? What are we doing tonight? Why am I here? Why am I here? What are we doing? So Dave and John Mayer host, and then Donnell Rawlings was there. Then Michael Che was there. Michelle was there. Michelle Wolf and also young upcoming comic Ashley was there. And then
Barnhill.
I had to follow Dave and John Mayer. And then he brings up Will Smith. Place goes bananas because nobody knows who's performing. Sure. Place goes like freaks out. He does stand up, kills it. Brings up Jon Stewart. And then Dave brings me up. It was, like, the best.
That's awesome.
And I just, like, slayed the room. Thank God it was just, like, right after I filmed the special, so I still had, like, that good time.
Right.
That material. So it was just, like, killer. And then Will loved my performance. And then he invited me to do, like, Punk His Son, part of his bucket list show. He flew me out to Abu Dhabi on the racetrack. It was, like, crazy, man. I don't know. It's just, like,
You have to sometimes pinch yourself.
No, what's doubt. Yeah, but also, it's, like, yeah, I've been in this, you know, I've been working really hard for over 20 years. It's, like, yeah. Cool. I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
he has an ice pack. You know.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he always says, yeah, it's the grind. But once the grind starts coming to its fruition and you start reaping the benefits, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is awesome, and it's like getting to that space where you get to really enjoy it. You know, finally, and get to dictate when you go on the road and when you come back and things like that. And it's just a lot of work. No wonder people give up. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah. 20 years in, you said, right?
Yeah.
See, this is what's crazy. So
professionally,
I'm 6 years in, and there's always comics that when you start that you hear about that get held in high regard mm-hmm. in every comedy scene. And in this scene, it was Ralphie May.
Yeah.
It was Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. It was you. I hear people would tell me stories about, oh, Mo Hammer, you never saw him, but oh, he's a killer. He's, you know, he's on the road and this, mm-hmm. that. And then I get to see you guys and what y'all do. And it's cool because my home club was your home club, the second iteration of it, Joke Joint right. Comedy yeah. Showcase. Yeah. But, so that's cool. But who was that for you when you started? Who was some of the comics locally or maybe in the scene that you had heard about or that you looked at or that you looked up to when you first started Houston comedy?
I was a really interesting case because I moved to the States in 90, right? Mm-hmm. I was 9 years old. I started stand-up officially when I was 14. I was doing stand-up in high school. First time I walked into the comedy club, I was 17. I didn't know anything about the history of stand-up. There was no, like, cable television. There was no situation where in the 90s where I could just, like, I didn't have cable. I didn't have internet. I didn't have, like, I didn't understand stand-up. When I saw Bill Cosby live at the Astrodome, I was like, what is this? My brother's like, this is stand-up comedy. I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
That's crazy.
And he's like, you're crazy. I was like, whatever. And I decided I was going to do that moment in time. I didn't know it because it's an indigenous art form to America. It's hip-hop, jazz, and stand-up. That's it. So I had no clue. So when I was on stage and I would do these open mics, comedians were like, oh, man, you sound like Sam Kennison. You sound like, oh, Eddie Murphy did that. I'm like, who's Eddie Murphy and who's Sam Kennison? They're like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know these people, man. Help me. And so they brought me all these tapes. This guy, random dude, I don't even remember his name, but he brought me all these random tapes, and I just kept watching him. I was like, oh, my God, Bill, this is amazing. I knew who Eddie Murphy was when I saw it. I was like, I didn't know he did stand-up because way before my time. And then, like, I was just, like, freaking out. And then I knew about the history of stand-up, and then I joined the Houston's Funniest Person competition at the Laugh Stop when I was 17. And then I joined it, you know, and then Steve Strickland is the one who told me to go to the Comedy Showcase, and that's where I met Danny Martinez. And Danny Martinez told me, you're going to be my last student if you want it. It's going to take you 20 years to get there.
It's crazy.
But if you listen to what I'm saying, you're going to be very successful. I've mentored Ralphie May, Tyshawn Shannon, who wrote for SNL for 10 years at that time. There's a lot of people. A lot of people on this list that went on to have successful careers. He goes, but if you do it right, you're going to be on television. I could see it easily for you, blah, 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 blah. But he's going to take you 20 years, so don't waste my time. And then I was like, okay.
That's crazy.
And we talk about this all the time because we talk about how you get started and how you go to open mics. And Barry always talks about all the trials and tribulations when you get going early. And then also now the frustration of even – I've been in this city for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. And when I got here, there were a lot of comedy clubs to choose from because – you know, and you represented a lot of the comedians that came out of Houston to make it.
Yeah.
But now you look at it and it's a dying art form in Houston. That's got to kind of bum you out, you know, having your roots here and seeing that it's just – it's kind of changed.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that a lot. I really don't like what's happened to the comedy scene here. I was very fortunate to have four comedy clubs open at the same time when I first started. It wasn't easy. There's a lot of guys. I mean, John Wessling was the first guy I followed at an open mic. When I was 17. And
One of my mentors, friends.
He did that bit, you know, with the lawn. I was like, bro, I got to follow this murderer. This is the first 5 minutes I wrote that's not for high school kids, you know? So I did fine. It was like an experience. But all those guys, Matt Kirsch was always good to me. He's no longer here in this... you know, and Ralphie May was 10 years ahead of me, so I didn't really know him very well, but we definitely, you know, when I was at the showcase and he'd pop in, Danny would put him up before me on purpose and just kind of like test me, and he was just like a beast, you know?
Yeah.
And then I featured for him while he was here. So it was just like a wonderful experience, man, to come back at this state, you know, and do that, but it's very, very sad to see. Personally, for me, I would love to see more comedy clubs and more rooms open up.
You it's know, a struggle sure. with the Joke Joint closing, man. There's one and a half. I mean, the Secret Group is good, but they're not a full-time comedy club.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I'm thinking about opening up a room.
I'm there.
Yeah, I'm thinking about opening up a room.
That would be great, man.
It was in my head, man. I can, like, bring Dave down or bring people down that I know. It's like, you know, we could do something really special.
This city needs it, for sure.
I really think about it. But I'll be at the Improv this weekend. I forgot even what I was here for.
I was going to say a couple things that I wanted to ask you. We can go a little long. We can go, Nicholas, is that, do you have to get out of here?
No, I'm good.
Well, can we do another segment? Come back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Cool. All right, we got Mo, more with Mo coming up right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Let's do it.
If you want to. You want to break down the 53 and the cuts?
Yeah, okay. No, I don't want to do that.
I don't think anybody over there wants to do it either. So we'll get back to that and a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Back with Mo and back with more of The Usual Suspects. Final hour of the show right here on ESPN 97.5. Mo Emmer, so gracious to join us. The hometown kid, so to speak, comes back, does good. Shows this weekend. Tell everybody how they can get out and catch one.
I'm at the Improv, five shows. Didn't know you had to push that button.
No problem.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. A few tickets left, all VIP sold out. So they got to get on it if they want to make it happen.
Just go what, website?
Yeah. You can go to improvhouston.com.
Yep. You can, I told Nick I would get him a ticket, so you got to just hold one back.
I got nothing for Nick.
Nothing for Nick? You hear that, Nicholas?
Seen his edge up on his beard? I don't like it. He's not even listening. It's so perfect.
Nick should probably have the headset on when Mo's taking shots at his
head. I said, I got your ticket, bro.
He's such a liar. I said, I told you I would get you a ticket for Mo's show, and he goes, not with that beard edged up like that. No way.
Why not?
It's not even a beard. It's like, it's like you had an accident on your face. You grow it out more, you know what I mean? Get that Arab beard. Don't be afraid of that Egyptian beard, bro. It just looks out.
All, you see, yours is all like, I don't know if you use like beard oil or something. Mine gets all out of whack, bro.
I just can't use a brush on a daily basis. That's all you have to do. You just have to go and you leave. You
brush your face.
I don't even own one of those.
I was going to say, have you seen his head? He doesn't own a brush.
Yeah, he doesn't own a brush.
No hair.
I haven't seen his head, now.
No, none at all.
Thank God for that.
All right.
In more ways than one.
All right. You're definitely officially Arab now.
Now, as a comedy fan, I watched the special The Vagabond, because that's what you're touring now, promoting, right? The Netflix special.
Well, I'm just, you know, I have a new hour. It's not all the same material. Okay. It's a whole brand new material. It's just about, you know, just getting out on the road.
You know,
that's what stand-up does. So I'm working on the next hour. I'm going to do that for Netflix hopefully next year sometime.
But I'm watching it as a comedy fan, and I'm enjoying it. But as a comedian, what stuck out to me the most was watching the very beginning and having Dave Chappelle bring you out and that curtain opens. What's going through your mind at that moment? I mean, that's got to be something surreal.
Well, it was crazy because Dave was there. So we just two shows for the tapings at the Austin Paramount. Dave was introducing me side stage the first show. The second show, he went out and surprised because we split the difference. The first show, we got to get people out. It's a 1,200 seat venue. Both of them were sold out, so we had to quickly turn things around. So we split the difference. Dave will introduce me side stage first show. He'll walk on second show and give like a hype set. And of course, it was like super hype. But for me, I was like underneath the arch in the back. I couldn't hear anything he was saying, and it was just obviously felt very special. And you have like five, six hands on you. Because they're preparing you, look, getting all the lint off, making sure all that stuff is gone. How's you like dabbing the bottom of my shoes to make sure there's no, so I don't show stains when I walk on the stage. Like all the stage preparations. And I'm like, what is Dave saying? But people are just applauding and getting hyped and more hyped. And he walks off and introduces me. And then you look out from underneath these two arches that we designed for the stage. And you see all these people going bananas and jumping up and standing up for you. And you see your mom crying. You're like, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, that's it. That was like one of the greatest moments of my life. But then I watched what he said, which is not in the special. We didn't put it in the special, what he said. And it was just like, you know.
Yeah.
Immediate tear. You're like, oh, this is what I worked so hard for all these years, and it's such a blessing for it to all come together.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned your family, but a weekend like this where you get to come home.
Yeah.
I mean, are you like...
This is more work than any other place.
Mad ticket request or the fact that you get to have so many of the people that you know and love that come out and support
you? Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of that. There's definitely that going on, but it's like your hometown, so yeah. I don't do these media tours anywhere else, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really... Thankfully, like, the shows sell out and everything moves, but I haven't performed in Houston by myself in a really quite a time. Some time. I've always come back with Dave. We did Smart Financial with him and John Stewart last year. So it was just like one of those things. So it was like, I need to come back and come back correct. So after I release the special, you know, give some time, develop the new material, go on the road. Tickets have been selling themselves. It's been good, but I just wanted to make sure because I have some, you know, amazing things up my sleeve that I can't talk about now for Houston. So I've just been really aware about making sure to just make the rounds and let everybody know.
I'm sure a lot of people know about the Eric Trump thing when you sat next to him on a plane. I was wondering what had a bigger impact on your comedy career. Was it Dave Chappelle or was it Eric Trump? Because that really blew up.
That's a really good question.
That really blew up.
That's a really scary question to ask because I don't want to know the answer to that. I would say they're both pretty impactful, unfortunately. They're both like pretty much almost – definitely Dave had a bigger impact on me on my comedy career. But like as far as what happened with Eric Trump was like terrifying because I've never gone – it's what it's called like super viral where you literally go around the planet several times. I was in an airplane and I wake up in Scotland and I turn on my phone. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I just do? Like, it was a bad one-night stand. I looked over at him. I was like, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Because he looked back at me. He was like, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Like, in his head. Because I could tell that he got a message like, what is wrong with you? You know, like, you're an idiot.
Why would you take that selfie?
I feel like he got something, you know, for that. Because we didn't say a word to each other. And we had a fairly pleasant conversation. Although I disagree with everything with his father. But that's his dad, you know. But I had a decent conversation with him. So it was really funny after that happened. But it was really scary. And Dave's the one who walked me through that because I was like, yo, I'm not going to talk to anybody because I don't want to be known as the guy who sat next to Eric Trump. Like, disgusting. I want to be not famous. I want to be, you know, I want to be respected for
known
the merit of my work.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So he goes, no, it's fine. You just have to control the narrative because I wasn't going to talk to anyone because I don't want anybody to think that I was going to use that to do something. I was like, I don't need that. You know, I tour with the great, you know, like I don't need this. So, but what I did need is to control the narrative. So I did do those interviews and next thing you know, I was doing a 25-city tour in England and Scotland and I was supposed to have 6 days off. So those 6 days didn't exist. I was doing interviews and when I was doing the actual shows, I would leave that and go do like pubs in the middle of England and people in the audience in the middle of this like crappy open mic bar were like, oh my God, that's the guy that said that. That's how crazy viral it went.
Yeah.
And so my whole thing was like write a dope bit out of it, hilarious bit out of it. Go back to New York, which I did, start working the set. Then the Stephen Colbert people heard about me. Then they came out and watched. They were like, oh, my God, we want you to do this on the show. I was like, okay. And then Rolling Stone heard about me from there. And then I became one of the top 10 comedians to watch or whatever for 2017 or 18. And then I got the
HBO was courting you and then Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. HBO was courting me, and they came out, and they offered me a special, and then Netflix was like, no, we want you. And I was like, but my dream is HBO. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, we're global, bro. Yeah. We're like global. So I just had to, after talking to my friends and just like who are in the industry, they were just like, hey, man, it's a no-brainer. And that's how I ended up selling shows out in Europe and going throughout the Middle East and hopefully hitting up Australia soon.
Now, how do you keep up with the Texans on the road? Because I know you're a football fan. How do you keep up with this team and travel? It's got
to
be difficult.
I just read. Yeah, I just read a lot, and I listen on the road, and I listen to ESPN radio all the time when I'm on the road.
Opinions on Clowney?
I think it's not his fault at all. I don't think it's his fault at all. I think it's 100% on Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Mismanagement of the situation. You're not a GM. You dropped the ball big time in this situation. In my opinion, I feel like he dropped the ball. If you really want to play somebody like a GM, you should have signed him, then traded him. Can't do that. And you're just like trying to use Clowney to save your butt for neglecting the offensive line. That's how I feel about it. Like, bro, you have Deshaun Watson. We've been waiting for this quarterback for how many years now? We've been waiting for this.
Since their existence.
Since their existence. We got the crappy car out the gate. Right. And we've been waiting for this guy forever. And now you can't, like, assemble a great offensive line in the offseason. Like, and now you want to try to have Clowney essentially save you, try to trade for somebody that can be there for you and protect your quarterback. And then you just fumbled the whole situation. You just can't do it. You need a good GM that you can work with.
What about the coach? Because, you know, obviously you're trying to keep tabs as you're on the road, but we talk about it almost on a daily basis, the thoughts on Bill O'Brien. I mean, here's a guy that we talk about. He's rude to the media. He's always quick and very short. Like, he's done something, but 9-7s and division titles, is he entitled?
No, he's not entitled. He can't manage the clock. He's fumbled the ball too many times. He can't manage the clock, much less manage an entire team and then coach them and then call the plays an offensive coordinator. Get over yourself, bro. You are not the best play caller. You might be a great head coach. Just let everybody trust everybody else to do what they're supposed to do and assemble a dope team. That's what – I don't see the head coach of the Patriots doing that. I don't see him calling plays of left and right. Is he calling them?
No. He's got no C.
No, he's got his sleeves chopped the way he wants them. He's sitting there walking around. Everybody's terrified of him. Everybody's doing their job. And that's what it is. You know, you can't have Clowney. I don't blame Clowney one bit. Sit out. Get your money. You don't have that much. You have a history of injury. I get it. He doesn't want to come back. Hurt his knee and his career's over. Doesn't get that big paycheck. You know, to hell with $15 million, you know, $1 million a month, $1 million a week or whatever. You want to try to screw me over? You want me to be your scapegoat? I'm not going to let that happen. Bam, sitting out.
Did you have a chance to go to the World Series games? Because I know you were on the road.
I wasn't able to go to the games, but I did. I was here in Houston, and I did go to the stadium and watch it there. I didn't go to the actual games. I was trying to, but I was on the road with Dave. On the road, Dave and Rock were doing shows in Oakland and stuff like that, so we were popping and having a good time in the Bay, but we were watching it all. I had it playing myself, actually. I had everybody involved. I was watching the game. People were talking a lot of trash.
I was just going to say, good time to talk mess when you got a Texas team that at least is winning, and then you got the Rockets, and then you get the Astros.
Oh, it was huge. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And that was like one of the greatest moments for sure, you know, watching the Astros today, because I skipped so many high school days to go watch the Killer Bees lose to the Braves, you know?
I was like,
I skipped school for this?
For Bagwell to hit into another double play?
Oh,
great.
God, horrific.
Or the Randy Johnson year that wasn't all that.
God.
Poor Randy Johnson. That wasn't his fault either.
No, and he did everything he could, right? He just ran into Kevin Brown at a Padres team that was a little hotter.
That's it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
At Real Mo Ammer on Instagram and Twitter, ImprovHouston.com for tickets to the show. You're here August 30th through September 1st.
Friday
the Vagabond
Sunday.
On Netflix. Mm-hmm. Rami on Hulu.
Yep.
Is there anything you haven't done? Jeez, Mo.
What are you
killing the game, man?
I'm good. Thank you, man. I'm exhausted. I literally had an IV drip before I came here. That's how bad I felt.
Houston, go support one of your own, man.
Definitely. Go support
him. Go sell these shows out.
Doors open for you. Come down anytime.
Anytime, man.
We'd love to have you.
I appreciate you.
Great deal right there. There you go. Mo Ammer, back with us the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. That, my friend, was a great get.
That was fun.
Awesome.
Yep.
Way to go, you. Mo Ammer. And way
Nicholas
to go, Nick,
too.
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah,
we teamed up on that one. I reached out to Mo directly, and then his PR people got with Nick, and we all made it work, and that was fun.
Fun segment, though.
Very fun.
Two
seconds.
If he wanted to stay, he could stay.
Boy, but I hate because I will say this. It's one of those weird things where you don't want to keep a guy too long because you don't want to wear out the welcome and make him feel obligated to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I he's so busy, and that's why we had to have him today instead of tomorrow because there's literally so much going on. So
well, you heard him.
Yeah, I could have had him for the whole hour. That wouldn't have bothered me at all.
Wouldn't have bothered me at all. But you heard him say he's the busiest when he's in Houston because it's been so long.
And that's why I didn't want to kind of, hey, stick around till 4. Now he's got to fight Galleria traffic, and I didn't want to do that to that man. So I know he's got a ton of stuff going on. So I just appreciate him spending two segments with us and hanging out.
I got to go back and listen.
Yeah, whenever, if you missed any of it, it behooves you to get to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects, top of the page. Catch up on what you missed, because that was a fantastic two segments. I love the whole feel-good story, too, of coming back home and be able to perform in you know, in the H again. And
for sure.
Very, very neat stuff.
There are a few guys in entertainment that have left this city and accomplished what Mo has accomplished. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, very good stuff there. If you missed any of it, like we said, go back and catch up. And by the way, you also had Cody Stutes talking about the Texans game tonight. We had Sigmund Bloom with fantasy football information. So, a jam-packed show today, has had a lot for you. If you missed any of it, go back and check it all out. And reminder, tomorrow we are going to be at Nick's Place, and it's going to be your first opportunity to get those suspect shirts. So, make sure you are there at Nick's Place. They start broadcasting 7 a.m. We know we'll do our regular slot 1 to 4 p.m., and we will have shirts that we will be distributing as we see.
Nicholas, do you want to go to the Saturday show? Is that what you said?
The Saturday, the later show.
You're going to go? Do you want to?
I'm
going to
be able to wife.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you let me know.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to make it to the Sunday show. So if you want to go Sunday,
yeah, two I'll tickets hang out. To the Saturday, the late show. Sunday, I might. Sunday, I have the appearance. So
you guys can work that out another time.
Saturday, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, because if peeps want to come hang out, buy a ticket, show up, and we can hang out. I'll sit at the table and drink. I'm saying go support Mo, and if Nick is there on a Saturday, you can go say hi. And if I'm there on a Sunday, I'll probably be sitting in the back. Come chill with me. We can drink a beer and watch Mo Ammer kill it.
I'm excited.
Yep. Very, very good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Stroh's came back from trailing 4-2, now lead 5-4. Grinke still on the mound, 91 pitches in as they are in the top of the sixth. Rays have a runner on second and one out. So
do we know
we'll keep
how they got their runs back?
They loaded the bases. I know that two walks. Chirinos walked in a run, and so did Springer.
You know what? I'm glad. Yeah, Chirinos and Reddick both walked. And
Springer did too.
No, this was in the fifth inning. It says Chirinos walked, Brantley scored, Toro to second, Alvarez to third. Reddick walked, Alvarez scored, Chirinos to second, Toro to third.
So, previous to the tying and go-ahead,
Springer walked. So there has been three walks that have driven in a run, and I use driven in quotes because I had this thought last night watching a walk result in a run. Mm-hmm. That goes down as an RBI.
Yep.
Now, you guys know I love baseball, and it's my favorite sport. But what I don't understand, this is one of the stupidest rules ever, is that a walk with the bases loaded is considered a run batted in, mm-hmm. even though a walk is not an official at-bat. Can someone explain to me how you bat in a run and in a plate appearance that's not an official at-bat? Does that make any sense?
The short answer is no. Okay. But I would say that because while you were in the batter's box and because of your keen eye at the plate, you were still able to get a run in.
But that's just... But
so you should get credit for that, so, because that's the only... You are the reason why the run scored, even though you didn't put back the ball the official at bat.
So it's just a run. It's not a run batted in. Like somebody said, oh, well, with a sacrifice fly, that's still an RBI, but not a plate appearance. Yeah, but I'm okay with that because you used the bat and you batted the ball into the air and it got caught and a run scored, so you batted that run in. That is a run batted in.
But you're not going to give as much credit to someone that has a keen eye at the plate that can manipulate that into the same thing without hitting a fly ball?
Well, so somebody said they should have RW eyes, Anthony, and I'm good with that. Yeah, then you had a run walked in, but you didn't bat the run in. It's not an at-bat to begin with. And I have yet to see anyone that could explain this to me and make it make sense.
I just did.
No, yours did not make sense at all.
Why didn't it?
Because you didn't bat the run in. You walked
the run
in. But
you did because you batted it. I mean, a lot of times hitting, as we know, is not just about putting bat on ball or getting a hit. You just mentioned the sack fly. But you can also say that, look, if you've got – we talked about Alvarez. It's not just about home runs or average with Yordan Alvarez. We said from the time that he came up, he had a really good eye at the plate, and he really knew the strike zone. And that helps him immensely. So if you're a polished hitter that has a good enough feel for the strike zone that you can manipulate a walk And in the process, that scores a run.
Okay, then good. You had a good eye.
All right, now you're starting another asterisk. Now instead of an asterisk, now you want to start instead of whips and all these things that other people don't understand. They think it's a fetish on freaking Pornhub. Instead, it's a way to baseball players are judged. And now you're going to put RWI.
No, it should just be a run scored. It doesn't count as an RBI, is what I'm suggesting. Yes, it goes against ERA, and yes, the person on third gets credited with scoring a run, but it's not an RBI.
But the same way that you could have struck out or flailed miserably and cost the team by getting an out and prevented that run from scoring.
Okay, then that's an at-bat, and you struck out, and that's the end of that. It's an at-bat. But if you walk, it's not an official at-bat, so how can you bat in a run? Nothing you got. You got nothing that explains it to me.
I don't like it.
Rob Mungo on Twitter said, because you receive neither benefit nor detriment to your average due to a walk. However, your presence in the box results in a walk creating a run, thus RBI. But you didn't bat the run in. An RBI is a run batted in. It's not an official at bat. Y'all got nothing, and baseball's stupid.
All you wanted to do was just piss everybody. We had a great hour going, and now you just want to piss and frustrate everybody off.
I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense to me. And I thought about it last night when they go, oh, look at that. So-and-so picked up an RBI. And I was like, I've realized I've listened to that for years. Doesn't make sense.
You got three of them now.
Baseball is a farce.
Oh, wow. The guy loves the sport. Now it's a farce. Yeah. And by the way, the future of your bullpen is on the mound right now. Joe Smith is in to shut the door. Boy, I'll tell you what.
In the sixth.
What, you hoping for him doing it or not? Because, we have these. That's right.
There's your guy. Tie game. There's your guy. Yeah, that's your guy.
And your leadoff hitter just scored.
That's your guy. That is your guy. You know what my app is? GetUpside. That's my app. GetUpside, my app. I love this app. And I'm telling you, man, if you guys aren't using this, you're crazy. Because you're wasting money if you're not using GetUpside. Go download it right now. When I downloaded it, I was sitting at the gas pump because I wanted to try it out and use it. So that's how quick it is and easy it is to download and get using it. You could do it before you leave for work today. And on your way home, when you fill up your tank, if you put in my promo code Barry, you're going to get an extra bump in the cashback department for your first fill up through the app. And I've had listeners tell me they got $6-7 on their first fill up back in their pocket from using the GetUpside app. If someone walked up to you while you were pumping gas and said, hey, here's $7, are you going to be like, nah, I don't like the money. I don't want a free $7. Heck no, you're not. You're going to take that money and you're going to put it in your pocket. So do that with GetUpside. And the same thing, you're driving home, you want to stop and get some food? How about Cyclone Anaya's? How about Candelaria's Pizza? How about Popeye's, Wendy's, Burger King? All these places you can stop and get food and then get up to 35% cash back in your pocket. There's hundreds of restaurants around the city where you can do this. You just have to have the GetUpside app. These businesses want your business. That's why they offer you these cashback deals through the GetUpside app, but only through the GetUpside app. So go do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just like that, Barry.
What?
They went from trailing to flailing to swinging for the fences. And the little engine that could, engine number 27, has just left Union Station.
409 at least to center.
The two went yard. Astros lead 6-5.
Can I say something to our listeners? Love you guys so much. But if you text me to tell me to check the Twitch, no, player, just send the text. I'm not going to, we don't check the Twitch on here. It's too much going on.
Nick,
the text line is enough. If you want to send us something, you texted me to tell me. This is like when my mom sends me a text and goes, hey, son, I sent you a Facebook message. And I'm like, yeah, Jenny, that's how smartphones work. It's all on the same phone. So then I go to the Facebook message, and you know what that is? Hey, sweetie, I sent you an email. Okay, you got me on some e-scavenger hunt that I don't need to be on. I'm not doing this at work, too. So if you had a message on Twitch, just text it to us, and I will read it. And if it's good, we'll read it on the air. I promise.
So they're sending a text to your personal cell phone?
No, they texted the station and said, check the Twitch. No, bro, I'm not on some e-scavenger hunt. Just, no, I'm not doing it.
And we, unlike the Blitz, we don't put Nick through that hellacious experience of having to try and monitor Twitch.
Is that what Aaron does?
Yeah.
Somebody
Fred
said,
always dumps it on Aaron. He's like, if you want to reach us this, and by the way, if you want to reach us on Twitch, Aaron checks all of that as well as Degenerates.
I've been in the room a couple of times.
So on the walking a run in and being a batted in, somebody said unless it's a four pitch walk, you're going to use the bat to foul off some pitches. That doesn't matter. If you still walked, it doesn't count as an official at bat. So even if you fouled off a pitch in the process of gaining a walk, it doesn't go down in the record books as an official at bat.
I look, I'm not arguing that point. I know that. I'm not. That's not what I'm going to argue with you on. And I've already tried to state my case, and now it's just going to be exhausting. So I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done with it.
There's really no way. Like I don't understand another way to do it. So yeah, Mark wants to talk about dropped third strike rule. I don't know what that means. Mark, what's up?
Hey, hello, fellas.
Hello,
what's up, Mark.
Are you there?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Hey, so I have always had this question about a drop first strike. We're talking about runs batted in, and if it's not and you walk, you get credit for an RBI, even though you don't get credit for being at bat. What about on a drop third strike and first base is open, and somebody swings? They're struck out at that point, but the catcher just doesn't catch the ball. Why do you have to get the guy out twice?
That's a good question.
It is an interesting question. And then...
And what basis? You know, I'm just thinking somewhere maybe in 1917, somebody must have done something to cause Major League or cause all of baseball to come up with this rule. But for the life of me, I can't think of what scenario. If you swing at a ball and you miss it and it's the third strike, the play should be over. It doesn't matter if it goes to the fence or what. So I don't know if y'all have any insight on that, or how that rule was even developed.
So I Googled it real fast while you were talking. Appreciate the call, Mark. It says the strikeout and the drop third strike turn out to be sibling rules, and the strikeout not quite so fundamental to the game as it would seem. This is way too long. I have a hunch that it had something to do with completing either the pitch or the strike. And so if it's not completed, then you haven't completed the out. So you have to get the out. It's still a strike, but you didn't complete the out, so you would have to get the out at first base. That's my guess or hunch.
Is it fair to compare it to the catch rule? Because in essence, the ball is still in play until it is secured, because that's why the umpire always says, if the catcher catches the ball in his glove on a foul tip, it's an out. But if the ball is not caught off a swinging third strike, it is still in play until it's secured. It's secured when you throw it to first, and the first baseman has the ball secured when he touches the base to get the out.
Okay.
So the ball is still in play as it's bouncing around until it is secured to secure the final out. I mean, that's my shot at it. How about that?
I would just suggest you Google it, because there is a very lengthy article on saber.org that talks about the drop third strike, the life and times of a rule. And I'm not going to read it on air because it would take longer, because it's a long-ass article. But it goes back to the 1860s.
Now, where are you on the fact that, and I heard this actually happened, they put it in the, because this, we're talking about that third strike rule, and now talk about really screwing things up. The Skeeters have a commercial running because they have a deal where if it's not the called third strike, if it's just a strike, a pitch, and it gets a pass ball, and it gets behind the catcher, you can elect to just run to first base. And they said in a recent series, because they're trying it in the Atlantic League and they're trying it in minor league baseball, they had a play occur where a batter on one of the pitched balls to him got by the catcher. He ran to first base, took it like a single.
Yeah, see, I think that
complicates it too much. That's like your run walked in.
And Josh Rapp said that the third ball is considered a pass ball, because you didn't complete the out, which is kind of what I was suggesting, is that you didn't, it's a strike, it's strike three, but you didn't complete the out. So, and now it's a pass ball and you have a chance to advance.
That was me with securing the ball.
Okay. I'm not.
Why would I not think, I knew Josh Rapp was going to respond, by the way.
Did you?
There's just no doubt about it.
Did
Scott
you?
Wants to get in here now on a, see the can of worms you opened up? You should go fishing.
I always do this in the last segment, Scott, and I apologize.
Scott, Zach Fly, what up?
Scott, go ahead.
Hey, fellas, how we doing?
What's up, man?
If I'm not mistaken, a sacrifice fly doesn't count as a net bat either, but you still get the RBI.
That's exactly right. But how did you get that sacrifice fly? What did you use? You used the bat. You batted the run.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're at bat and you work a walk, it's the same thing almost. It's not the same thing, but you can see where it would work.
You didn't use the bat to bat the ball in.
But, Scott, I'm with you because if you go back a segment, I said exactly what you just said. I'm just trying to find a way why it would be okay. I mean, I know the crazy things that goes on in Barry's head when we're not on the air, so I was just afraid that it would rear its head right now, and it did.
I don't know. Way to go.
Way to screw up the last half hour with all this mental hopscotch that people are going through
My bad.
Trying to, like, give you long definitions and explanations. You're going to get text messages next.
Oh, they're rolling in.
Paragraphs at a time.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I'm going to leave that up to you. This can of worms you got going here.
Okay, let's do it. Eric wants to talk about the infield fly rule because somebody else had a question.
Well, you don't
want
to leave this in Fred and AJ's lap. So
somebody had questions. Like, they said they still don't understand the balk rule. So we'll do that after Eric's call. Eric, what's up?
Yeah, is that infield pop-up rule still in effect? I mean, if it's two outs, the infielder doesn't have to catch it. It's automatic out, correct?
Not with two outs. If there's less than two outs and it's an infield fly rule, it's an automatic out. I don't think with two outs it's automatic.
Can they still turn a double play if somebody's on first?
Not with two outs. That's impossible.
If they let it drop?
Not with two outs. Yeah, if there's one out, and it depends. If the umpire calls the infield fly rule, then the batter is automatically out and nobody has to advance. But if the umpire does, it's a judgment call on the umpire.
We saw it happen
at that point. Yeah,
during this homestand. Yeah.
So it depends where you're standing. If you're standing inside of the base paths nearer to the mound, then the umpire is probably going to call that. But if your feet are in the outfield in any way, then, yeah, the umpire could say, nope, this ball's in the outfield and you don't have to catch it. We saw that with Altuve where he was hung up between second and third, I think, in the first
Rays game.
Rays game.
And they wanted a slower runner on the base paths, so they did it that way.
So they swapped out Altuve for Brantley, I believe it was.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then lastly, somebody said, I don't understand the balk rule. The balk rule is essentially in place so that you don't fake the batter out by, or the runners for that matter.
The runners for sure.
Yeah, by fake pitching and getting them to lean or jump. And then, so if you try to fake them and they get a free base. So that's it. So
nice job, you guys, on Moam, or not so nice jobs on this stupid baseball question. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
What's wrong with it?
By the way, tomorrow we're at Nick's Place. Don't miss it. 1 to 4 p.m. for us. The station's there, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Got
to
tell the people about mybookie.ag because the NFL season's about to kick off, and you know what that means. Time to bet, time to win, time to get paid, time to do that at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag has more odds and more prop bets than any other sports book out there. You're silly if you're going anywhere else, and absolutely nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. So go sign up right now. And when you do, use promo code RADIO. MyBookie will double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money that you can bet however you want to bet. And if you want more, they'll give you more. How about $100,000 more? You win the MyBookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest, and that $100,000 is all yours. Don't play on some no-name sports book. Those guys out there, they don't pay all the time. And then I want you to get your money. So that's why I want you at mybookie.ag. They are the best, and they're going to take care of you. Make sure you use that promo code RADIO. Get that exclusive double your money offer today. It's mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag. Don't go anywhere. The list is up next, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,